Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
My thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And today we have a treat for you. We actually have the parents of Micah and Matt Wilder and Josh Wilder and Katie Wilder is here in the studio.
Yes. First, I have to say, and the parents-in-law of Joseph Warren.
That's right. Katie's married to Joseph.
Joe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so we're going to have a pleasant conversation talking about a new book that is out. It's Unveiling Grace. Lynn, you are the author of that book. Michael, say hi.
Hello.
You got to understand, Michael wants to always kind of stay in the background here, and I told him I'm probably going to call his name and make him talk.
But... Yeah, I'm the priesthood representative here, so I'm presiding. So.
And if you've noticed that voice, we've had Michael on the show several times in the past, and I only had the pleasure of meeting Lynn when we were at an EMNR conference in Denver. I think that's the first time we ever met.
A couple months ago.
Yeah. And so this is kind of exciting for me because I want to hear your story. One of the things that we often hear in talking with people wherever we go discussing the subject of Mormonism is when people hear some of the obviously very strange doctrines and even odd history behind it, people wonder, well, why would anybody want to get involved in something like that? And it's hard for them to understand it, especially now in our information age, how people can... Well, the phrase they use is sucked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to agree, it does sound odd. Now, my answer, I always try to give this one answer that seems to get me off the hook on this. The Bible talks about that, how there's a spiritual blindness, and a lot of people, they don't really see a lot of this stuff. I remember talking to Chuck Sackett before he passed away. Years ago, he was a temple worker. And I asked Chuck, I says, how could you go through this day in and day out when you were volunteering at the temple and something's not, you know, no bells are going off, no flags are being shown to you? And he said, I didn't realize it at all until I became a Christian. But you were raised in what I'm assuming, because I'm reading from the book here on page 27, you say, I grew up nominally Christian. Each week, my parents took the four of us children to a Methodist church and later to a Presbyterian church. But what did I really know about faith in Jesus? Not much. Do you see that pattern a lot when you talk to people? That most of the time when they come from a Christian background, they have a very nominal understanding of what Christian doctrine really is?
When we came to faith in Christ, we took the Bible as our truth source. And so we have no man, no organization, only the Bible as our truth source. So I am sometimes surprised that in Christianity, not all Christians seem to be as in love with the Bible as we are. I really have an addiction for the Bible. Can't put it down every day because I trust no man, no longer trust the arm of flesh, and only trust God himself.
Well, that's encouraging that you have even that trust, because I have talked to so many Latter-day Saints and they'll tell me, well, if the church isn't true, nothing is, which is such a horrible, horrible comment to hear coming from people who claim to be Christian, quote unquote, because what it tells me when someone says something like that, that Jesus really isn't the foundation for them. The church is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the church isn't true, whatever's built on top of that foundation is going to crumble with it. And I think that's why we see so many ex-Mormons go into agnosticism or even atheism, because they really never had a real belief, I mean, a true heartfelt belief in who Jesus was and what he did for them, at least in their minimal understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't affect you that way.
I actually trusted Christ, and so when Micah became Christian and all of this started to stir our family, I decided I wanted to hear the words of Christ. I went straight to the Book of Mormon, assuming they were all over the Book of Mormon, and then going, wait, these are mostly the words of Mormon prophets. There's only one section of 3rd Nephi where Jesus actually visits and speaks to the people. And I started reading a section of the Beatitudes. Christ was speaking the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount there in 3rd Nephi. And I went, wow, doesn't this Christ of the Book of Mormon have anything to say that isn't already in the Bible? Mm-hmm. So I thought, wow, if I'm going to hear the words of Christ to find truth, I'm going to have to go to the Bible.
You mentioned Micah. Now, for those who don't know who Micah is the one who kind of this whole story kind of centers on a lot of what happened in Micah's life. Micah being your third son, right?
Yes.
Okay. The oldest is Josh. Then we have Matt, Matthias. Mm-hmm. I blew it last time I had when the guy's on. I think I said Matthew and Micah corrected me. I went, oh man, I didn't even think about that. I always call him Matt. But anyway, your sons go on missions.
Yes.
Okay. Very faithful Mormons. And this is another thing I think needs to be pointed out. You were very devout. When you joined, you go into this head first. I mean, this is everything for
Within you. Within 6 months of joining the Mormon church, I was crying and bearing testimony during testimony meeting. Yep. And I didn't actually want to go into Mormonism. Mike was the one who had a dream and decided we needed to do it. But I tell you, they are really, really good at relationship building. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what took us into the church.
Well, it's kind of Michael's fault.
Yes,
it's your fault. It was August day in 1977 when they came knocking on your door you invited them in.
Well, I was working on a master's thesis on understanding the beta coefficient for investments.
Which everybody understands anyway.
Right, and I was so bored, and I was, you know, I would do anything. So, I mean, if anybody knocked on a door, I was going to let them in to talk to them because I just had to get away. So the Mormon missionaries knocked on the door, and I said, come on in. And, you know, we started the whole process, and I kind of got hooked. And again, you know, people asked me, well, how did you join, you know the LDS Church? I mean, aren't you an intelligent person? And I said, well, you know, back then in 1977, we didn't have the internet. So I didn't have any pamphlets or anything. I was just going by what they said. And the other frightening thing about it is I knew enough about the Bible to be dangerous. And it is an expression I used to tell my accounting students. I said, you know enough about accounting to be dangerous. So don't think you're financial analysts or CPAs or whatever. And so that was where we got hooked. And again, the story sounds great, but if you do not know the Word of God to test all things, as John warns us about, to test the spirit of everything that's around us, if you don't know the Word, you don't know what to test. So when the missionaries mention things, concepts, you say, well, that sounds reasonable. It's very reasonable. Yes, I've heard of apostles, and I've heard of prophets, and I've heard of Jesus, and I've heard of the Bible and everything else. But it's interesting, even though we were joining, we still had a lot of questions. We kept saying, show me in the Bible, show me in the Bible. And they would try to show us things in the Bible. But again, we didn't understand the basic concepts, how they cherry picked so well from the Bible. And we said, oh yeah, that sounds reasonable. And again, I remember when I was getting ready to join the LDS Church, I held up the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I said, now the Book of Mormon is not more important than the Bible. And they said, oh no, they're equal. They're equal. I said, okay, you know, one is from the Americas and one's from Judah. So, you know, that was a lie in and of itself because, you know, years and years later, once you become indoctrinated in the LDS Church, you realize that the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the other scriptures supersede the Bible. It's at the lowest level because it has problems. But at that point, as Lynn mentioned, you're getting drawn in and you're slowly, I always refer to it as like the frog in hot water. You're sitting there swimming around, just having a great time, and it's changing. And it's getting warmer and warmer. And what you're doing, you're being cooked in Mormonism. And you're becoming Mormon stew. And so you start believing this stuff. Yeah. And eventually, when things really start sounding weird, you believe it.
Yeah.
And eventually, I mean, when we you know, it's in the book about going through the temple. I mean, it's like God is still telling you, this is not right. And you keep saying to yourself, I just not spiritual enough. That's why I don't understand it. Until you just keep going back year after year, decade after decade, and being absorbed into it, then you're cooked.
Yeah. Now, both of you, like I say, you jump into this thing head first, and you are obviously given positions because that's what happens. You have callings in the church. So you were actually Relief Society president, Lynn?
At one point.
And you talk about this interesting thing, and I didn't realize this until I read it in your book. And I remember commenting to my wife, Tammy, I go, do you know the Relief Society president is responsible for in burials of women, of getting them prepared in their temple clothes? That was your job as a Relief Society
president.
That
was part of my job, yeah.
Well, yeah, not the whole job. Yeah. You weren't a mortician. Okay, that just seems so weird.
I actually had 7 funerals my first year as Relief Society president. 7 women that I went to the funeral home to dress, got to know the funeral home director pretty well.
I'd imagine, yeah. But that is a thing about in a Mormon funeral. They are buried in the temple garments.
Right, you know? Okay. Yeah.
They're a little bit modified because you can't quite get the garments as they are on a dead body. So
you have these positions in the church. And you're living in Indiana, and then you want to increase your education, and then eventually job at Brigham Young University is going to come up.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And your bishop tells you what about moving out to Utah?
He said we wouldn't like Utah, that they don't actually live the gospel in Utah.
It's kind of like Bible Belt Christianity, maybe? Is that what he was kind of referring to? Because you hear those stories. Sometimes Christians don't actually live the life, and unfortunately that is a bad testimony. It certainly is a bad testimony for Mormons that are living like that out here when us Gentiles are watching them. So did you find, we're almost out of time. We're going to save this for tomorrow's show because I want you to talk about the fact that you did feel in coming out to Utah kind of like you were second-class citizens because you are converts. You don't have one of the typical Mormon last names. And so when you come out here, you do actually feel this and you experience this when you eventually do come out. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow as we continue the story with Michael and Lynn Wilder, a new book, Unveiling Grace. And we'll take it up tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel that you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? If not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministries' Compassionate Boldness Symposium on Saturday, September 21st. This 4-hour event will take place at Calvary Chapel Wasatch Front in Clearfield, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. This event, by the way, is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. Again, this Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, September 21st at Calvary Chapel Wasatch Front, located at 564 South 800 East in Clearfield. We look forward to seeing you there.